Well, welcome to Maple Avenue. We're glad you're here to worship with us this morning. And this morning we are going to continue on in this series that we started a couple of weeks ago. This is our third week in this series, Courageous Home. It's also our last week. And next week, Jason's going to be sharing with you. He's going to be preaching for us and talking about a conference he went to and just the importance of children's ministry in a church and all that that entails. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to share next week, and I just want to encourage you guys to be here and encourage him to be praying about what he shares with us next week. And in light of that, that ties right in with what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about something that every person in this room can relate to, because every person in this room is one. You know what that is? Your child. Every person in this room is a child. Now, we may not all have children, but we all are someone else's child. So it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a living human being, you are someone else's child. Infants, toddlers, elementary age, junior high school, college students, the 20-somethings, those of you who are going through midlife crisis, you're still someone's child. If you're an octogenarian or older, you're still someone's child. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're a child. Now, we may grow up and move out and even more to different parts of the country, or we may even move to different parts of the world, but we're still someone else's child. And as children, the Bible gives us some very clear instructions in how we are to live. There's actually commands given to children. So these commands are to each and every one of us in this room this morning. The command to honor and obey parents permeates Scripture, all through Old Testament, New Testament alike, beginning in Exodus, second book of the Bible, when God gives the Ten Commandments, and all throughout the Old Testament. So look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says this: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, some of you grew up in an era, if you didn't honor your father or mother, you didn't live long. They beat you to death. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 21 says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. There's other places throughout the Old Testament where you can find different passages of Scripture, like Leviticus 19, verse 3. It says, each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 5, 6. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's a restatement. Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Listen to your father who gave you life. Oh, I said it again. But in the New Testament, both Jesus and the Apostle Paul reaffirm the fifth commandment. They talk about it clearly in Matthew 15:4. Jesus said, God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother will be put to death. That's a pretty strong statement. But Jesus was serious about this, extremely serious. He said again in Matthew 19:19, honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. It ties right together with the second greatest command, to love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle Paul addresses this in Colossians 3:20. He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So I think we can agree that the idea of children honoring and obeying their parents is very important in God's word. So it should be very important in our lives. And we are all children. So this is to each and every one of us. Children are encouraged that their obedience will bring blessing and long life, while disobedient children who dishonor their parents are admonished that their behavior will bring punishment. It'll bring shame. Two passages are really clear on this. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. That's what Jesus was quoting when he said that in Matthew 19. Because they have cursed their father or mother, their blood will be on their own head. This is some serious stuff. It's tough being a child, huh? Deuteronomy 27:16, curses anyone who dishonors their father or mother. This is serious stuff. And the reason it's serious is because if we look at the history of Israel, the nation of Israel, we see that they, on again, off again, had this relationship with God where they would honor him one minute, and the next minute they would dishonor him. They would disobey him. The nation of Israel, who God still calls his children, provides an example for disobedience, of disobedient children. And that's what they did repeatedly. God's command, he commands Israel to obey him, promising great blessing for obedience and dire consequences for disobedience. We just finished going through the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, during his day, Israel obeyed God, and they were blessed with victory over their enemies. They were blessed with land, and they were able to prosper in a lot of different ways. But later on, and we've said this, as the whole book of Judges shows, Israel's disobedience brought nothing but trouble. They would sin against God. God would oppress them. They would repent. God would deliver. Then they would sin against God, and God would oppress them. They would repent, and God would deliver. That's the whole book of Judges. Those people did what was right in their own eyes. They stopped caring about what God's word had to say to them, and they no longer lived under that. And so the Bible teaches the necessity of correcting disobedient children, just like God corrected Israel when they would go astray. Discipline is a part of life for everyone, for all of us. And those who rebel against the authority of parents are to be chastised, are to be chastened. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." So essentially what it's saying is, if you're not going to discipline your child, you're just sending them down a cursed road. So now I'm talking to parents a little bit. We have an obligation while we have children in our home to discipline our children. That's our responsibility. Unfortunately, a lot of parents today have taken the role of best buddy with their kids. They just want to be their kid's friend. They want to be popular. They actually want to be more popular than their child in the schools with all their buddies. That's not what being a parent is all about. Being a parent is about leading your household, leading your children in a godly way if you're a Christ follower. And if you're not a Christ follower, it's still not about being their best buddy. It's about responsibility. It's about shaping them into who you want them to be, who God wants them to be. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." Now, that is in no way condoning or suggesting abuse, because some people have taken it to mean that. If you're abusive, which is not just physical, but it's also verbal, it's also emotional, then you're wrong as a parent. You're just flat out wrong. Nothing in Scripture ever condones an abusive approach to discipline. Discipline is about harnessing power under authority. It's about bringing that together and having it work toward a common good. That's what discipline is about. It's not about breaking a spirit. It's not about beating them till they're, you know, bloody. I mean, and that happens. And I think we've seen enough and heard enough articles in the news and stuff to know that that's a reality. Or we withhold our love and we shame. All kinds of things. I've seen a lot of that happen in homes. I've seen a lot of kids that have gone through it. And it's a terrible thing for children to go through. And that is not at all what Scripture is talking about here. Love and careful discipline, they go hand in hand. The idea is refuted that a loving parent will never discipline a child. That's a social thing that we've kind of made up. But to turn a blind eye to rebellion, to where you can just condone everything that child does, you never hold them accountable, that's really to hate the rebellious child. I've said it this way before. If you have somebody in your life and they are walking down a sinful road and all you do, your encouragement to them is to come up and pat them on the back and say, "Hey, that's okay," and never confront them in that sin, all you're doing is patting them on the back and saying, "Well, you can go to hell." Because that's where they're going. If they're not repentant, if they're not turning away, if they're not turning toward God. And parents who do not address the rebellion of their children are kind of doing the same thing. Discipline is a form of love. And so this brings us to our passage for today in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul paints a portrait of a Spirit-filled home in 6, 1 through 4. The main idea is the Spirit-filled home is one where children obey and honor their parents, and fathers nurture their children in the Lord. In all of this, in this message, we're going to limit ourselves, though, to verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to talk about Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 this morning, just exploring the idea of what it is, that the idea that the courageous home is one where children obey and honor their parents. That's what we're going to talk about. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, that's okay. Grab one of those in the chair in front of you or beside you or wherever you are and turn to it. And if you don't own a Bible, put your name in this one. Take it home. Let it be our gift to you. But Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So after commanding children to obey their parents, Paul cites the fifth commandment, and he adds a parenthetical comment, and we'll cover this in just a little bit, which is the first commandment with a promise. That's what he adds to that. And like I said, we'll talk about that later towards the end of the sermon. But as you know, the Ten Commandments may be divided. They're divided into two sections by a lot of people. There's the first four commandments, which are talking about honoring God, and then the last six are about our relationships with each other. And so in the first four, you have, you know, God, to honor God, we are to have no other gods before him. We're not to serve and make idols. We're not to take his name in vain, and we're to keep the Sabbath day holy. That's the first four. The last six commands spell out how to love our neighbors ourselves. And it starts with this, to honor our parents. And that's the responsibility of every person in this room. Whether your parents are still alive or not, you honor them. That's our responsibility. For some of us, it's tougher than others. I get that. For some of us, we grew up in homes where we were abused, we've been neglected, maybe our parents gave us up for adoption, maybe all kinds of things happen. But we're still to honor them. Not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, to bear false witness, not to covet anything that our neighbor has. So standing at the head of this second section is the commandment to honor our parents. That's foundational to keeping all the commandments that follow it. If you don't keep that one, it's hard to keep all these others, and all those others help us to do that one thing, to honor our parents, to honor our father and our mother. If we truly honor our parents, we will not disgrace their name by becoming murderers or committing adultery or stealing or bearing false witness, lying, that's what that is, or coveting what others have. We'll resist that. So honoring our parents is foundational to all the other relationships and duties of life. That's why it heads up this section. The keeping of the fifth commandment also works backward to the first four. Honor, the beginning of this command, is often used of the honor we owe God. If we are rebellious and we're disrespectful toward our parents who gave us life and then sustained that life, you know, then we also probably will be rebellious and disrespectful toward God, who is the creator of life. Disrespect toward our parents and God will also carry over into disrespect for all authority. It happens. You can see it over and over again. And the way people live their lives and the way people just disrespect all authority, thinking that they're above any authority. No authority has anything over them. No one can tell them anything because they are their own authority. In their own eyes, they are their own God. That's essentially what it boils down to. So the idea of honoring our parents is not some outdated, it's not some quaint idea to be set aside without consequence. It is vital to the survival of civilization. This is God's command. Honor your parents. And this word children, it's an interesting word. It's the Greek word technon that Paul uses here in Ephesians 6. And this word's not limited to children under 12. That's not what this is about. It's not referring to children who are under 18. So there's no arbitrary age. This word is referring to all children, which is everyone in here. Paul's command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, would refer to children who are still living at home or still living under their parents' dime. So maybe you're not living at home, but mom and dad are taking care of your utilities, your rent, or maybe they're paying your insurance or the car payment, whatever it is. Hey, you're under their dime. Obey them. And the command to honor your father and mother, that applies to all. That applies to everyone here because we're all someone's child. Whether our parents are living or dead, we are someone's child. And we are still to honor them. And so the command to honor our parents is lifelong. You never retire from that. If you have children still at home, it's your responsibility to help them understand and obey this important commandment. That's what we're to do. So, the courageous home, which is what we're talking about, the courageous home raises children in the Spirit. That's how we start to develop courageous children. That's how we develop a courageous home, as we raise our children in the Spirit. The greatest responsibility of a Christian parent is to set an example of how to live the Christian life in front of their children. That's our number one priority. And so I want to take guilt away from parents right now. Listen, there is not one parent in this room who is a perfect parent. Okay? And there's not one child in any household who is a perfect child. Parents, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to hurt your child, and you're not going to mean to. It's just going to happen. You're going to mess up at some point. Every person in this room is going to. All of us are, and all of us have, if we are parents. The reason I know this is because none of us are perfect. So if we're not perfect in our relationship, we're not going to be perfect in our relationship with others. That's just not going to happen. And this doesn't mean we can't be godly, though, in our parenting. You may not be perfect, but you can be a godly parent if you apply biblical principles to your parenting. And I also want to let you in on a little secret. Your kids aren't perfect either. Some of us have this idea that our kids are perfect. Your kids aren't perfect. And don't put that pressure on them. They're not. So with that, I just want to assure you that in your parenting, in your childhood, in your relationship with your parents, there will be relational friction. It's just going to happen. But to the point, the most important thing we can do as parents is to set the example of how to live in Jesus. And those of you who don't have children at home, you are still setting the example of how to live in Jesus for all the kids who are watching you. You don't have to be a parent to set this example. You may come across kids who live in a home where Christ is not the center of that home. Guess what? Maybe God's bringing that person into your life to live that example out in front of them. You don't have to biologically have a child to have an influence for Jesus on a child's life. So take whatever opportunity God is passing your way and use it to share with others how they are to live, to share with those children. It's such a blessing to have the opportunity to raise a child or to have influence over a child. And this is true of both believers in Christ and people who don't have a relationship with God. But if you're a person of faith, so if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's so important to pass on a spiritual heritage to those who are in your care, to those kids. You are passing on a spiritual heritage to them so that they can pass it on to their kids from generation to generation. I just want to share a few things with you this morning about how a courageous home raises children in the Spirit, okay? So first, you have to put Christ first in your life. That's the most important. And so this, of course, is easier said than done. Sometimes it can be difficult. However, we always have to be aware that we are teaching kids all the time. All of us, every person in this room, we're teaching children all the time. We teach them by what we watch on TV. We're teaching them what we think is funny, what's acceptable, what's commendable, what's interesting. We teach them by what we listen to on the radio. When we raise our children, they must see us consistently putting Christ first in everything we do, including our time. So does Christ come first in your time? Do you spend your best with Christ, with Jesus in the mornings, with God, or in the night, whatever your best time is? Are you putting Christ first? Are you putting them first financially? Are you teaching your children to tithe, to give above the tithe? Are you teaching them to be benevolent towards others? Are you teaching them to serve others? And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. You can bring them to your church on a work day, or you can just take them and volunteer. One of the coolest things I used to see were the DeBrine kids, and there were other kids that did it before them, and there have other kids done it after them, but I just remember the DeBrine kids, they'd go through, and they'd walk through the rows, and they'd pick up every communion cup. What a great way to serve. Somebody's got to pick them up, right? And those kids would do that. And there's other kids that have done it. When we've done work days, I've seen all kinds of ages of kids carrying lumber or helping bring water to people who are working. That's great ways. Teach your kids to serve. Just bring them, let them serve. Put Christ first in your life so that they put Christ first in their life. Next, model what it's like. Model what a Jesus follower should live like. Model what a Jesus follower should live like. The Bible speaks about how God is holy and encourages us to be holy. We will never be as perfect as Christ, but being holy doesn't mean that we're perfect like Jesus is, but more of a set-apart meaning, okay? We are to be different than the outside world. People should be able to notice that we believe in Jesus and that we live for him. Not because we're proud and pious like the Pharisees standing on the street corners and praying out loud and pointing fingers at people, but they should see it through the way we interact with others, that we love people. Our marriages should be different as we follow the example of Christ. He loved his bride, the church, and laid down his life for it. Our children will certainly know that we are not perfect, but they should know that we are authentic, that we're real, both in our daily lives and in the way we interact with other Christians on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, or whenever we come together. So model what a Jesus follower should live like. Next, make your family a priority. You have to make your family a priority. Our relationship with God comes first. Our commitment to our spouse is second. And our commitment to our children is after that, and everything else follows. And if you're not married and you don't have children at home, then your relationship with God is first, and then your commitment to God's people should be second. To serve others, to mentor children. I can't say this enough. There are a lot of kids in our society. There's a lot of kids in our community right here in Macomb. Many do not have a godly influence in their lives. A lot of unchurched, a lot of unchristian homes. And so if you find yourself in a position where you have the time to invest in a young person, I want to encourage you to do this. I know some of you, you've been a part of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. That's awesome. It doesn't have to be a quote, it doesn't have to be like in a church setting or Bible setting. Go out, see who they are, invest in them. Speak into their lives. I know people in this room this morning who have done that. I don't want to encourage you. Do that. Do that. And if you want to know who it is, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you came and talked to them, so just see me after this. If you're like, hey, how can I get started in this? That'd be a great thing to do because we have a lot of kids who are falling through the cracks. And biblically, we have a responsibility to that. And there's a lot of different ways we can do that. So make family a priority. If you have kids at home, if you don't, see how you can invest in them. Our family should be a priority. This sounds simple, but Christians can struggle in this area. We get busy trying to love others, trying to serve others. And sometimes what we end up doing is taking our time away from our family, our attention away from our family, and we put it on everything else but our family. And I know this is a struggle for a lot of Christ followers. I know it is. There's always something to be at, someone to talk to, a meeting to attend, a group to lead. So we have to be careful that we make family a priority, okay? Next, teach your children the Bible, okay? Having your children learn the Bible and learn about God, it has to come from you as parents if you have children in your lives, if you have children in your home. It has to start with you. Sure, the church is a great help in this, but don't lay all that responsibility on the church. Don't neglect your responsibility as the parent. Jason and I were talking. At most, we'll have your kids 104 hours a week. If they come to Sunday school and children's church, that's 2 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, 104 hours a week. Year. I did the math. I just can't distinguish between weeks and years. Sorry about that. But yeah, in a year, And a lot of you caught that. thank you. But yeah, 104 hours a year. You have them, you know, like 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you know? And how much are you investing in them? You're the primary teacher. We've always said church is a vitamin to your daily nourishment and your relationship with God. That's what we are. I mean, you are responsible for developing that in yourself and in your children. So take that responsibility seriously. Finally, make sure you're connected to a church. I believe it's so important, especially for kids, to see that you are connected to a church. Now, there's a big difference in going to church and being connected in church. Big difference. You can come, you can sit, and you can be idle, and you can just be passive all through your church time. And that's not what I'm talking about. It's one thing to attend church. It's another to be church together, where you're actively involved, where we're carrying each other's burdens. We're not just throwing the burdens onto other people, but we're like, you know what? I'm going to walk alongside this person in this. I don't have to give this off to somebody else. I can minister to them. Let your kids see that, because we have a responsibility to one another, and they need to see that we're connected as a church. Now I want to turn my attention to children. So this is to everybody, all right? Courageous children, they obey their parents. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:1, very beginning, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." By "in the Lord," Paul doesn't mean obey your parents only if they are in the Lord. That's not what he means. Only if your parents are Christians, that's not what he's talking about. Nor does he mean obey your parents only when you think their decisions are in line with what you think the Lord wants. That's not what he's saying. He means it's your duty, it's your responsibility in the Lord to obey your parents. In other words, to please the Lord, you must obey your parents. Now, some people may obey begrudgingly. You know, I think that's better than disobedience, all right? But God wants us to be cheerful in our obedience. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, he said, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart." There's a cheerful obedience, the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. The only exception to obeying your parents would be if they are commanding you to do something that is a clear violation of Scripture. If your parents are clearly telling you that you have to do something that is a violation of Scripture, but even then, okay, even then, you must demonstrate to your parents a submissive spirit, and you must seek to please them. You should respectfully appeal to them. Respectfully, that's the key. Appeal to them and explain your reason why you don't feel that it's right to obey them, because it violates God's law. You should show that it gives you a lot of heartache to not disobey, to disobey in that regard. And you should submit to any punishment that they impose without complaint. So before you stand up and say, you need to think through this. You have to have a heart of joy in the Lord and count it worthy to suffer for his name. But such times when you have to disobey your parents, have obedience to God, are probably going to be rare. It can happen, but it's probably going to be rare. I do have a friend who was telling me that his wife has a very strained relationship with her mother. Her mother actually told her this. She said, "We can no longer have a relationship with each other until you denounce Christ as your Lord and Savior." And my wife's friend is a courageous child. She has not denounced Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she prays for her mom. However, she does not have a relationship with her mom out of respect for her mother's wishes, but she continues to pray for her. Now listen, I'm not so naive as to believe that there may be some of you here today who have gone through the same scenario, same kind of thing. That's your life right now, maybe. I had a number of friends in Bible college who'd experienced the same rejection by their parents. Because they accepted Christ and wanted to honor and glorify him, their parents rejected them. They said, I have no part of you as long as you're following Jesus. That happens. When Paul says to obey your parents, for this is right, he's pointing out that the obvious order that God has ordained, that's what he desires for us. There comes a point, of course, where you move out from under your parents' authority. You're no longer obligated to obey them. Wise parents, they let the reins go gradually so that a young person assumes more and more responsibility for their own life until they're on their own. We all know when that is. It's different for everybody. It's not some number like 18 or 21. Maybe it's 26 if they're still on your insurance. I don't know. But a general rule of thumb is this. If you're resisting under your parents' authority, you're probably not ready to live out from under their roof. If you're still resisting your parents, you're probably not ready to live out from under them. Your obedience to your parents shows that you are living under the lordship of Christ and are mature enough to live apart from your parents' direct authority. Now, if your parents are not Christ followers, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about godly parents, a godly household, and if you're resisting that, you're probably not mature enough to live on your own. It's just the reality. All right, next, courageous children, they honor their parents. To honor your parents involves an attitude of respect and esteem. Do you respect your parents? Do you esteem your parents? To honor your parents is to have an attitude of respect for them that stems from the fact that we greatly value them as an individual, that we value the contribution they've made to our lives. To honor our parents is to assign a high place of value to our parents. So do you do that? Just reflect on your own life. Do you honor your parents? Do you place high value and respect on who they are and what they've done? Now, some of you may be saying, man, if you knew my parents, you wouldn't place high value, high respect on them. The way they live, the way they treat people, the way they're treating people now, they don't deserve that. This attitude of respect and esteem is a result of love. It's courteous behavior toward them. So what I'm saying is, love them and honor them, even if they're treating you like dirt. We have to love them. We have to honor them. We have to show that toward them, as long as they're willing to have a relationship with you. And I realize, like my friend, like my father, they don't want a relationship with you. And so it's hard to do that when they don't want a relationship with you. But you can still live in such a way that you honor them as best you can. So, but maybe you're thinking, you know, my parents don't deserve my honor. Why should I honor them? First and foremost, this is why. You should honor your parents because God commands it. When he makes this commandment, he doesn't put parentheticals. He doesn't say honor your parents if you think they deserve it. He doesn't say honor your parents if they're being good to you. He doesn't say honor your parents if they're providing for all your needs. That's not what it says. He addresses parents, but for us as children, honor your parents. God commands it. God is the sovereign of the universe. His holy law is the final court of appeal. Nothing is greater than what he says. You can't go over his head. And he didn't give us the 10 suggestions for a happy life. He didn't give us the 10 habits of highly successful people. That's not what he offered. He gave us 10 commandments that we are to live by. And so to dishonor your parents is to disobey God who ordained these commandments for our good. Deuteronomy 6:24 said, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. We should keep them because we love and because we fear God. Next, you should honor your parents because God promises to bless those who do. Even if there are no blessings promised, we should obey our parents because of who God is. But here, he graciously attaches a promised blessing. But Paul's comment that this is the first commandment with a promise, well, that can be a bit puzzling, especially if you know your Bible, if you know the commandments, because scholars point out that the second commandment, not to make any idols, is also a promise. Promises that God will show loving kindness to those who love him and keep his commands. And I know we're not Calvinistic, but Calvin made a good point on this. He explained that promise was not confined to that particular command, but extends to the whole law. It extends to the whole law. So the promise attached to the fifth commandment was the first specific promise among the ten and the first of many promised blessings for obedience. Finally, if you have difficult, unbelieving parents, you must ask God for wisdom in how to best obey and honor them. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is going to be easy. This is going to be really tough. But God ordained this command to honor our parents, knowing that there would be sinful parents out there. He knew that. He didn't put it in he didn't put any exception clauses in this. So here's three things you can do. Let's give us something we can do, okay? So here's what we can do if you have difficult parents in your life, or maybe your parents are gone, and maybe they were difficult. You can pray this still. First, thank God for giving these parents to you. What? Thank God that I had an abusive parent. Thank God that He gave these parents to you. Forgive them from your heart and remove all bitterness towards them. That's a lot. Yeah. Didn't say it was easy, but I believe that's something we need to do. If you've had difficult parents, thank God for them, forgive them, and remove bitterness from your heart toward your parents. Second, demonstrate a godly attitude toward your parents. Demonstrate a godly attitude toward your parents. And third, practice deeds of love and kindness toward your parents. Even if they mistreat you or have mistreated you, and have a view of leading them to Christ. Even if your parents are selfish pagans who treat you like dirt, you are God's main link to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if they never respond or only respond with anger and bitterness and rage, you can be kind and caring toward them. If you live in another town, you can write them. You can call them and let them know you're thinking of them and that you care about them. I'd encourage you to do that today. You certainly should pray for them often. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their repentance. Remember, you're never going to change anyone, but the Holy Spirit can. And pray that they would be submissive to the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is all about reflecting God's glory in Jesus Christ to a lost world. And by obeying and honoring your parents, you are following the example of Jesus Himself, who, although He was God in human flesh, He continued in subjection to His earthly parents. Courageous children, we need to go and do likewise.